Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa, and I am blessed to look to the Word of God this Lord's Day. It is my joy to also meet with you, my friends, in the teaching and preaching ministry of the Word of God. We continue in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, which says, "In the Holy Bible, the New King James Version, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." We have been speaking about Christ's intercession, mostly from the book of Hebrews, for a couple of weeks. Today we'll continue to consider Christ's intercession and also the Spirit's intercession in due time, as God wills. You might remember that we said that intercession is a word that really means simply to stand in the gap for, to plead with, to mediate, to advocate, to intervene for another. And in the book of Hebrews in past weeks, we saw God's truth about our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is a superior priest in every possible way, that Christ is superior above the Old Testament priesthood and covenant, that Jesus Christ is the God-man, the appointed intercessor for the people of God. And the nature of his priesthood, we saw in Hebrews, is that he made sacrifice for his people in giving his own blood for us for the redemption of our sins, and that he prayed for us. We want to take another look at the intercession of Christ today, and there are very encouraging and amazing truths that God reveals to us about this in the Holy Scripture. Friends, you can learn more about our ministry at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. Our ministry's name is Mission Africa. Let us now pray. Father in heaven, thank you once again for the blessing of looking to your truth, and I pray that you will fill us up with the Word of God, with your precious truth once again today, and then lead us to see Christ Jesus glorious and exalted, the great high priest of his people. Help us to see him in his intercessory work, in his giving himself as a sacrifice for our sins, and in his work of praying for God's people. Thank you. And we thank you too, Lord God, that the Spirit of God makes intercession for us in absolutely remarkable ways. Bless my listeners today. Bless the teaching and preaching of your word today. Save souls and be exalted in your church. And in that exaltation, build up your people. May your glory be present upon us today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I begin today in speaking about Christ's intercession with the thoughts of a Puritan, David Clarkson, from many centuries ago. He encourages us in his writing about Christ's intercession. This is a great encouragement to faith. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. You may have confident freedom to speak all of your mind and heart, and speak it with the assurance of prevailing. Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 22. Having such a high priest whose office is to intercede gives us boldness, full assurance, and access, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Ephesians 3, verse 12. This affords many things to strengthen our faith and make us confident in our access to God through prayer. Another Puritan by the name of Matthew Poole also encourages us from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. This inference proves his eminency in office above Aaron's order by the efficacy of it, for he is possessor of a supernatural divine power, which is able to save to perfection, to the full, to all ends, from sin in its guilt, stain, and power, from its consequences, the curse and wrath and eternal death. What neither ourselves nor others could do for us, he is only able, and as willing as able, to set us in a safe, happy, blessed, and glorious state forever, Romans 8, verses 9 through 11, that come to God by him, and no other. All such who will come to God by him as their high priest, and no other, praying for remission of sins for his sake and merit, by faith in his blood, renouncing self, expecting the mercy of God to flow in him to them, subjecting themselves entirely to him, and depending on him to present them unto God their end, without spot or blemish, or any such thing, and to make them blessed in the enjoyment of him forever. This is his work, according to John 6, verses 35 through 40, and 1 Peter 3, verse 18, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Since he always exists and lives a high priest for the good of those who wait on him, having life in himself and quickening them, compare Romans 8, verse 6, and as their advocate, 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, answers all charges against them, sues for those penitent believers, and pleads for all promised to them by the Father in him. He, sitting at God's right hand, must ever be in his presence, and appears as the general representative of his, and uses all his interest with the supreme lawgiver, judge, and governor for them. This was foretold in Isaiah 53:12, even for those who cannot plead their own cause through guiltiness or weakness. He will manage it for all of them who believe in him and apply themselves to God by him, atoning him for their sins by his sacrifice, performing their duties and person by the incense of his merits, and presenting them to God, answering in heaven his type on earth, Romans 8, verses 31 through 36. We are encouraged by these Puritan teachers in a marvelous way to consider Christ's intercession and how this perfect intercession that Christ makes for his people results in our eternal salvation and utter and absolute forgiveness of all sin. His intercession brings us into the blessedness of eternal life and the love of God that believers experience in part now, but fully hereafter in the glorified presence of the Lord. Christ's intercession, as we consider fully our high priest and his intercession, an eternal act and work of Christ. Christ was not a temporary priest by a carnal law, but he was made a priest forever, with everlasting power, endowed to save all his people. This remarkable truth is seen clearly in Hebrews 7, verse 17. For he testifies, "You are a priest forever. A priest prays and makes sacrifice. This is the sum of his work. And this Christ did for his people." There is only one priest now, in this strictly biblical sense of priesthood. And this one priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, has worked and made sacrifice for sins. He did this once and forever, as he gave himself as an offering for our sins. Jesus Christ, the only priest now, the only priest now in the sense that he is appointed by God for his people as their great high priest and only priest, has finished this work and sat down at the right hand of God. It is undoubtedly true that because we have sinned, we need a priest who will pray for us and who will make sacrifice for us for the removal of our sins. And because all men need a priest, the Bible directs us to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's priest alone, to look to Christ. It is Christ alone who is God's priest, who can remove our sin. It is the priestly ministry of Jesus Christ alone that God honors. The Bible does talk about the priestly ministry of those who believe in Christ, meaning that Christian believers also pray and make intercession. The Bible does indicate that Christian believers give a sacrifice, that is, not a blood offering, animal or human, to God, but offer the sacrifice of their lips. They sing praises to God. Dear friend, there is only one appointed priest by God now that is able to save to the uttermost. Those who profess to be human priests today miss the mark according to God's word, are in error in considering themselves as priests who make an offering for sins. There is one sacrifice for sins that has been made by the true priest, God's appointed, declared priest, the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Christ to be your priest. Look to the great high priest who makes intercession perfectly for the people of God. We see, too, that Jesus Christ prayed during his earthly life, that is, during the time of his incarnation here in this world, and Jesus prayed for his people. An example of this is found in John chapter 17, in what is called Christ's high priestly prayer. He made this prayer before his crucifixion. And in John chapter 17, Jesus Christ, the high priest, God's only recognized sacerdotal priest, that is, a priest capable of giving an offering that God accepts, or making intercession as God accepts, in verses 1 through 5, prays for God to glorify him. Having finished the work God gave him to do, Jesus prays that God will bring him to glory with him where he was before the creation of the world, that is, in the very presence of God the Father. In verses 6 through 18, Jesus prays for the disciples, that is, the apostles. It's interesting to see in verses 6 through 18 that he does not pray for the world, but he prays for those that God gave him, the 11. In fact, he does not pray for Judas. In fact, he mentions that Judas has been lost in verse 12. He calls Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition. But those that the Father gave him to save, the 11 remaining apostles, he prays for. And he prays that God will protect them from the evil one, that God will sanctify them, make them holy by the truth of God. He declares that God's word is truth. And he declares that these that God has selected, that God has chosen and sanctified and protects, that God has brought to Jesus, he has sent into the world, and that he has given himself for their sakes. In verses 20 through 26, Jesus Christ, the great high priest, prays for all believers. This is remarkable. He prays for everyone who will believe in him through the testimony of the 11 surviving and remaining disciples. We find in the book of Acts and also in church history that another disciple, Matthias, was later appointed to take Judas Iscariot's place. Jesus says he prays for those who will believe in him through the word of the apostles, and he prays that the people of God will have unity one with another, just as he has unity with his Father. He prays that God will be glorified by his Son, by himself, and he prays that God will be glorified by those who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, that Christ will be glorified by those who believe in him. Jesus there prays for the love that he has for God and that God has for him to be with those who believe in him. Jesus also prays that as the Father sent the Son in mission to save the people of God, that he sends believers in mission to bring the gospel to God's people, and that their mission will succeed. He prays there that the knowledge that he has of the Father, that he is eternal God, will be also a knowledge shared by believers who believe in him, that he is the Son of God, eternal God, the Son, and that his Father is eternal God, the Father. Amazingly, he cries out that believers will behold his glory and that the Father will love them as the Father has loved the Son. Other instances in which Jesus prayed during his incarnation for the people of God are found in Luke chapter 22:31, where Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail, that after denying him three times, Peter would continue to believe in Christ. And of course, we see that to be exactly what happened in the biblical record. Peter was strengthened, empowered, encouraged. I'm sure Peter never forgot his betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ, his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ, but Peter served Christ extremely well as the apostle, as the leader of the apostles, as the great leader of the early church. Jesus also prayed in John chapter 14 for the Holy Spirit to come to those who believe in him. And of course, we see that answer to Christ's prayer later in the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, "Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." This verse reveals the remarkable truth that Jesus Christ, the glorified Son of Man, is now in heaven and is now praying for God's people from heaven. A Christian minister, John Piper, helps us with thoughts based upon Hebrews 7, verse 25. "He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." It says that Christ is able to save to the uttermost forever, since he always lives to make intercession for us. In other words, he would not be able to save us forever if he did not go on interceding for us forever. This means our salvation is as secure as Christ's priesthood is indestructible. This is why we needed a priest so much greater than any human priest. Christ's deity and his resurrection from the dead secure his indestructible priesthood for us. This means we should not talk about our salvation in static terms the way we often do, as if I did something once in an act of decision, and Christ did something once when he died and rose again, and that's all there is to it. That's not at all there is to it. This very day, I am being saved by the eternal intercession of Jesus in heaven. Jesus is praying for us, and that is essential to our salvation. We are saved eternally by the eternal prayers, Romans 8, verse 34, and advocacy, 1 John 2, verse 1, of Jesus in heaven as our high priest. He prays for us, and his prayers are answered because he prays perfectly on the basis of his perfect sacrifice. As a side note, we are encouraged to be much in secret prayer and converse with God, as the evangelist George Whitefield has noted, and less with men. In other words, because Jesus is our great high priest and prays perfectly for us, we are absolutely accepted in Christ, we should be much in secret prayer to our Father. Most of us spend most of our time in conversation with men and less so with God our Father. We are greatly encouraged that the Bible declares that Jesus is praying for us now in heaven. He is praying perfectly for us. He cannot err. He is the eternal Son of God. And he is the glorified man, Jesus Christ. He knows us perfectly. He knows exactly what our needs are. He created us. He bled and died and saved us. He has redeemed us for his own glorious purposes. He has willed to take on a human nature. Can you imagine? The eternal Son of God's existence is such that in due time he took on a sinless nature and became a man and is eternally pleased to exist. The glorified God, only glorious God, the Son of God himself, is pleased to eternally exist as a glorified man, a man who has become a perfect high priest and who prays perfectly for other men, those who believe in him, and intercedes for them as their advocate. Romans 8, verse 34 says, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." He is a kingly priest, a royal priest. He perfectly serves as king and priest. The kingly priest is also God's prophet, who speaks in prophecy by his Spirit to men the very words of life that are spirit and life, and by his prophetic office saves to the uttermost all who come to God by him. He transforms men by his word. Perfect, uninterrupted prayer is constantly made by Jesus Christ, who is infinite God and yet finite man. This perfect, constant prayer is made for his people always, whether we wake or sleep, whether we love and obey him or sin and fail him. He is praying for his people, for the elect of God. In every situation that we are in life, every moment of our lives, as Christian believers, Jesus, our King, is praying for us. What comfort this gives us. I pray that you may be comforted by these awesome truths today, dear friend. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ always. and be saved from your sins by the intercessory work of our great high priest. Dear friends, let us pray. Father in glory, thank you for these awesome truths. I pray that your Spirit will bring them home to our hearts, and that we will receive these truths with the light that attends your word, that by your Spirit's grace and unction, we may be transformed, and our faith will be strengthened, and we will much better in a spiritual and experiential way know in the depths of our hearts that you are God, that you alone are God, you are our God. Because our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God with you, has come and has saved us. Glory and praise to you. Thanksgiving to you, Lord. Bless my dear listeners. Please, Spirit, come. Work in their hearts. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.